is Braden and Tally Waller with the voice of My Beloved podcast. We have been a little absent the past couple of weeks. There's a, we've been celebrating. It's been a great time. We got to celebrate the Feast of Sukkot. But before that happened, the last podcast that we posted, our computer crashed. And because we were entering into the season of Sukkot, I decided not to stress out about that. And we just kind of went on with life and just dropped things. And so the podcast is kind of, we just put on the side for a little bit until, and we had to have our joy and not stress. And so we rejoiced fully, and now we have our computer back and it's working and we're doing a podcast.
Yes, we're glad to be back with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so we thought we'd give a little update on, Sukkot.
We had a blessed time.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
Some really sweet people came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had a great group of people come out. And I think Brayden and I were both thoroughly just overwhelmed with, because it's really been, this is the first event that we've really put on ourselves. And I say ourselves in a very loose way. We had a lot of help, which was part of God's miraculous provision in the week. We were very blessed that friends came in early and helped set up and get things cleaned up and ready to go and built the sukkah and led the rejoicing. It was just great. We had just the perfect people come in and get ready for the week. So that was...
Yeah, really powerful messages and worship times. Had a few people come in and lead worship. And it was just really sweet. I found myself crying one morning. It's like, oh, it's Sukkot, but I'm supposed to be rejoicing. But it was tears of joy.
It was a good cry.
It was a good cry during the worship time. But it was just kind of ironic. I don't know if I've ever cried during Sukkot before. But yeah. I was like, oh,
we cried all that morning. It was just so good.
Yeah, it was a good cry.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really sweet to see some old friends and then to make some new friends. It was a really good time. We had lots of dancing. I was dancing almost every night. I think all of us got sore. By the time everyone got too wore out, we kind of left it. Didn't do it for a couple days then at the end. Lots of rejoicing. We had a talent show that was hysterical and great. So anyways, we were, as we've been planning the event, we were just like, okay, God, we're doing this. I feel like you're leading us to do this, but this is up to you to, make this all happen. And so we felt like his hand was on it and felt like, we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on, keep on following, see what the next step is.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of things in the works now that I want to tell you all about before we go into our message here. Okay, so we've got, one thing is a fasting and prayer event, which is for the guys, and that's December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Yes, if you're a guy out there, guys that are really passionate about pressing in, sowing in the spirit, as Galatians speaks of, then love to have you come out. We're just going to be spending some time in worship and prayer and really exhorting one another, really just trying to combat apathy in our generation. That's one of the biggest issues that we have here in America is apathy, and we want to combat that. We want to gather together as men and really pray for the fire of God to fill our hearts and reignite us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So we've got that coming up in December here. Then the end of December, we have a Hanukkah event scheduled. It's a week-long event, December 22nd through the 29th, and it's a worship event. And so I'm starting to, it seemed like we had to get through Sukkot before we could really start dreaming about this event. And so it's been fun, though. Over the past couple of days, we've been really thinking through things, getting some other teachers and worship leaders involved. And so we're super excited about the event.
Yeah, if you can't come for the whole week, you can come for the weekend, too.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few people doing that.
Yeah, so if you want more information, go to the website, loveandpurity.com, and there's a Hanukkah page there. I think it's loveandpurity.com/Hanukkah. We would love to just see all kinds of worshipers, singers, musicians, dancers to come out for the event. And really, it's going to be we'll have to see, we're going to do some spontaneous worship and sing in the scriptures and do some choir stuff. And we got a lot of things to kind of thinking about with different teachers and teachings on the Tabernacle of David and all of prayer. So we're excited about who God's going to bring out to this event. So come and join us if you have that, if you have an opportunity. And then we have a girls' discipleship course for generally the month of February, and the month of March is going to be the guys' discipleship course.
Yeah, we're going to do 4 weeks apiece and just really focus in. It's going to be a time of prayer, worship, scripture memory. We're really going to press in and mm-hmm. seek the Father together.
And see what kind of services we can do, some kind of, see what kind of things we can do too.
Yeah, we'll be also trying to be getting out and doing some outside stuff as well. So yeah, we're looking forward to being together with whoever the Father brings out and bringing in some people as well to help out with these things. So we're looking forward to how that shapes up.
Yeah. So that's what's coming up here. And okay, so what we were going to do today, we're going to go off a little bit. It's off of our topic. It's off of our notes, but it's right in line with what we've been talking about here. I had this like epiphany during Sukkot and so this is the first Sukkot that we've celebrated outside of the land for the past 10 years since we've been married. And so this year we're getting ready for Sukkot here in the States. And it's just the strangest thing because none of the rest of the country is getting ready for Sukkot. And so, you know, just realizing, wow, this is totally countercultural here.
Yeah, they don't sell palm branches down at the local store down here.
What in the world?
I know. It was so strange. Loves
and, I know. It's just, yeah. So we were getting ready for things. And then, you know, it's like you have a gathering, like it's a Sukkot gathering and all these people from all over the country are gathering in these places and everyone's like packing up. They're taking off of work for like 2 weeks so they can drive somewhere, camp for a week and stuff. And it's just, and the rest of the culture is just like, what are you doing? You know, it's like, so anyways, it's total countercultural. And so as I'm getting ready for Sukkot and thinking about how I'm not in Israel and how I'm out here in this foreign land and it's, it's just so different. I felt like I was reminded of the children of Israel, and the children of Israel were the ones that lived in the tents. And that's why we build a sukkah to remember the children of Israel that lived in the wilderness in the tents. Okay. So we're commanded to build the tents. Remember the children of Israel in the tents. And then we're commanded, what else?
Rejoice.
Right? And so I'm sitting here going, okay, so I'm in a foreign land. I'm outside of Israel, just like the children of Israel were. They're uncomfortable. They're not quite at home. They're waiting for these promises to happen. And then they're commanded, and we're commanded to rejoice when we think about this season. We're thinking about the children of Israel, and we're commanded to rejoice. And so this was my epiphany this time was I'm like, you know what? Even in a foreign land, I'm going to rejoice during this season. I'm going to remember how the children of Israel were walking around in the trials, in the wilderness, in all of the refining season that God was bringing them through to get them ready for the promised land. And so then it brings me back to the wilderness season. And the wilderness season is what?
The betrothal season.
It's the betrothal season, right? We've been talking about that. And so it was reminding me just how important it is to, you know, we talked about the lovesick bride and it sounds really dreamy. And there is that aspect of betrothal where it's just like a dream and it's so beautiful. But there's this other aspect of betrothal where it's like, it's hard. It's really hard. The wilderness season was hard. There were trials. There was a refining process. Refining is hard. It hurts. And so I'm just thinking of the verse in James to
count it all joy.
Count it all joy when we fall into trials. And I'm thinking, okay, this is something that we need to embrace, is being joyful even as we go through this this wilderness journey, this betrothal journey, this journey of being, of waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, that we will not get disillusioned. We will not lose hope that our Messiah is coming. Yeshua is coming to reign. He will fulfill all these promises that have been made. as we're waiting for this, that we won't lose heart, that we will continue to engage in the refining process, and that we'll actually grow in this place, that we'll be full of joy as we embrace this whole process. So yeah, that was my little epiphany. So I'm giving everyone this talk during Sukkot, talking about my little epiphany while I'm like bawling, crying because we're watching our family dancing in Horva Square in Jerusalem. So it was funny though. It was tears, but it was, you know, it was like a longing tears. It wasn't like a sad tears. It was just tears of like, oh, it's going to be so good when this all comes to the fullness of like the restoration and we're back in the land and it's going to be so good. But we're not quite there yet.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So the theme of our podcast is this theme of joy and having joy through the trials. And it reminds me of the story I heard Richard Wurmbrand tell. I was listening to an interview that he had. He's 80 years old. And he's in this interview, he says, my favorite memory my whole life was this instance. He was in this big cell with about 80 other prisoners. He spent some time in solitary confinement, but then sometimes he spent in a big cell with a lot of prisoners in really bad conditions. And he said he was in this cell, and this argument broke out between these scholar guys, because you know the communists put a lot of very highly educated people in prison. You know, if they didn't go along with whatever their idea was, and they would just throw them in prison. So there was like these three or four guys ganged up on this one peasant guy, farmer guy, that believed in Yeshua as the Messiah. And they were ganging up on him saying, you know, how can you believe? You know, this guy that you believe in lived 2,000 years ago, and you say that he talks to you? And the guy said, yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but he talks to me, and I can't really explain it, but that's the truth. And it's just, you're crazy. You can't explain this. You know, they were looking for some sort of theological or some sort of philosophical explanation of this.
Logical
explanation.
Right, it's got to make sense. Yeah.
And he said, but this peasant guy says, yeah, you know, he talks to me and he walks. I feel like he walks with me. He said, you're telling me this, these professor guys go, you're telling me this guy lived 2,000 years ago, walks with you? You know, even if he is alive, he's up in heaven and he's not really on this earth. So how, this is totally not making any sense. And then he goes, yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but he walks with me and he talks with me and sometimes even smiles at me, he goes. And at this point, these philosopher guys are like, they're just done with it. Like, how can you explain it? You say he smiles at you. This one of the guy goes, well, what did it look like when he smiled at you? And he smiles in this really horrible prison cell. And Richard Wurmbrand, he's just observing over on the side. He said it lit up the entire cell in like with supernatural light. And the main antagonistic professor was just totally taken off guard. And he kind of looked at him speechless for a little bit. Then he says, you have seen Jesus smile. It totally disarmed him in this whole argument with him. And that was pretty amazing to me to hear Richard. I've read, you know, quite a bit about Richard Wurmbrand. He has quite an incredible story, but he said that was his favorite memory in his whole life. And so sometimes just a simple, you know, just demonstration of God's joy in a time of suffering can shed light on the truth of who Yeshua is. And so I believe that's so important. What Tally's talking about is having joy through the refining. I talk to a lot of people and you kind of pick up on this sentiment within the body. I've just noticed this, and this is just something I want to bring out on this subject, is some people get upset by the refining process. They feel like, well, I, you know, I'm immature, so you know, I just feel like I'm not measuring up. And
it's not fair.
Yeah,
right. It's not fair. Why are you being so hard on me?
Yeah, it's like people kind of get this down in themselves mentality, and they lose their joy in that. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think it comes down to too, when people are in that refining process, like usually God uses other people to refine you.
Right.
Has anyone else noticed that? Like God uses the people in your life to refine you. And then instead of recognizing it as God's refining process, instead they get like just really upset at the people around them, you know, and that really can kill your joy.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Yeah, so just maintaining this joy is so critical. And so I want to look through a few scriptures. Psalm 45:6 This is one of my favorite psalms. It says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." So here we see very clearly Yeshua is anointed with the oil of gladness. And this is something that he has because he hates wickedness. He loves righteousness. And we know this is talking about Yeshua from Hebrews 1:8. He says, "But to the Son," he says, and he quotes that exact scripture from Psalm 45. And so I love this passage because the world has this message that if you believe in the Bible and believe in God, that you're kind of having to sacrifice the enjoyment you could have from the world. You know, you're kind of missing out a little bit. It's like, well, you know, they're living for just this side. The Christians are just living for the world to come, you know, and in this world, you know, they miss out a lot of the fun that we get to have, right. You know, but that's totally wrong. I really believe this truth here that if you pursue loving righteousness, loving godliness, then you're going to have the most joy, mm-hmm. you know, of that you can have in this world. You know, it says here the Yeshua is anointed with the oil of gladness the most, but you can share in that joy that he has. You can be one of those companions that is next to him and it can experience that oil of joy in your life. And so I just encourage you to reject that narrative of the world that you're missing out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing that you're missing out on if you pursue righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's such a blessing, and there's true joy, there's lasting joy on the inside mm-hmm. when you pursue this.
Yeah, and also just encouraging you to recognize the refining process and recognize that God is in control and he is orchestrating things in your life to refine and bring out things that he wants to work on. He wants to see you refined and grow in victory in areas in your life, and recognize that as a process that God is actually in control of in your life. I think that brings a lot of joy and peace, understanding that God is in control, and in my circumstances cannot be outside of God and his greatness and his bigness, his complete authority. My circumstances can't be outside. And so that's why I think that you have people in prison that are being beaten, and, you know, and we see it in the Bible, you know, the imprisonment and terrible conditions, and there's still a place of joy there. Like there's still a, because recognizing, God, this is part of the refining, and this is such a good thing for me. Like, this is so good that and you can find joy in that, you know? And so we all need to be encouraged in that as we go through the trials in life.
Yeah, if your whole perspective is things are just spinning out of control and I have no idea why this is happening to me, then that will just suck the joy right out of you. But if you believe that, oh no, this is so good. Oh yeah, I can see James going, yes, there's more trials coming. there's more just struggles going on here. Let's all just have a party.
Yeah, Brayden talks like that to me sometimes. And I'm just like, be quiet. But I need to hear it too. Because I can really get wrapped up in the minute in the circumstance and in the situation because man, when you're in this situation, you just look on such a humanistic level of like these people and these things and everything is bad like around me. But as soon as you look at it through a heavenly perspective of God is doing a work in you right now, it's a good work. As soon as your perspective changes, it releases you from offense, from anger, from stress of having to figure everything out. And it just releases you into a place of joy, which who wouldn't want to be there? So,
right. Yeah. So continuing on here, John 15, this has become a very dear passage to our family as we've memorized John 15, 16, and 17, put it to song. But this passage says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And looking at John 15, we know that the things that he's been talking about is abiding in him. You know, it's like abiding in the vine. That's where you're going to bear fruit. And so as we get close to him, I just like to think of that Psalm 45, his companions that are, you know, you're close to your friends, you're close to your companions, and you can share in that joy that he has. And he wants us to have fullness of joy. This is what he desires for us. And these things in John 15, 16 and 17, he said those things so that we could have this fullness of joy. So I just encourage you to meditate on those truths. And then John 16, going on in this whole little sermon that Yeshua gives, it says, "A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." And so we have joy now. We also have sorrow because we're longing, we're mourning for that kingdom to come. And so it's kind of a tension between the two. You know, Yeshua says, yeah, you're going to have some anguish and sorrow in this world. But we can have hope for joy. And that's what can even, you know, kindle that joy within us now, that we can look forward to joy. And so with birthing, I've witnessed Tally give birth to 5 children. And she is a, you know, kind of the poster woman for this verse right here. Because she for sure, you know, knows how to
be in anguish.
Be in anguish. And she, you know, is very vocal when she's going through that anguish. And but she but she gets through it and has the baby, and she's like, "Oh, we should have another one of these." so that I can really relate to this passage here.
Yeah, and I have to give a couple other stories, because okay, my sister just had a baby recently, and I'm on the phone with her. Like we do like FaceTime during births and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm even watching her in labor. Even as I'm watching her, I'm just like, oh man, that looks so hard. And I'm just like, oh yeah, that, I don't know if I could do that again. But then as soon as she had the baby and was holding the baby, I was like, oh, of course I could do that again. Like it's so wonderful. And then we've had lots of births around here. Yet we've had sisters and sister-in-laws having babies over the past month or two here. But we have another. I have another sister-in-law, and this is great. She and her husband were they're due during Sukkot, and so they were praying joy for the birth and the pregnancy and stuff the whole time. And so, so she goes into labor. And she is in labor, in anguish, right? Now, she definitely has a different version of it than I do, but she's in labor. It always hurts. And she is in the pushing stage. And she said that she went to push. And she said there was a like Holy Spirit
supernatural
thing that came on her. And she's pushing. And she cracks up laughing in the middle of pushing. I've never heard a story like this, but I think it's like such an encouragement. And she said, I wasn't like planning it, right? I don't even know what was going through, but it was just like a Holy Spirit thing where all of a sudden something hit me and I just had to crack up laughing. And so I was like, that's so awesome. Cause even in just as we're talking about, even in the anguish, in the sorrow, the Holy Spirit like releases supernatural joy. It's like, but we have to know to press into it, like, and know that that's his heart for us, is that there's joy, even in the tribulation, even in the anguish. And that's the only reason why, you know, you have these stories from those that are persecuted, you know, and just the amazing testimonies that come out of these areas of persecution. But the Holy Spirit is, you know, he's able to provide something that goes totally against the natural route your feelings and emotions want to take. But the Holy Spirit comes and takes over, and then you're laughing in the midst of anguish and tribulation. And, right. And it's beautiful.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then further on in John 16, verse 23, it says, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." And so even this element of intercession, of asking God for things, is a part of this growing in joy and having fullness of joy. I just love that idea of fullness. You know, God doesn't want us just to have a half full cup. He wants us to have a full cup, a cup that's even running over. Mm-hmm. And so this is what he desires for us. Then further on, John 17:13, but now I come to you and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And so we're not talking about just a human joy here. This is a joy from heaven. This is the very joy of the Son of God that can live in your heart, that can just abide in you. And this is what he desires for us. And so Yeshua, he went to the Father. He's praying, God, I want my joy to be fulfilled in them. And he's praying for you and I. You know, in chapter 16, he said, I'm not praying just for them, but for those who will believe in me through their word. Actually, I think it is chapter 17. But, you know, he's praying for us right there, that we would have his joy in us. What a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Then Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a powerful thing. Yeshua had joy even as he suffered. You know, it's an amazing thought. He's being whipped, beaten, crucified, but yet he still has this picture of joy for the joy that was before him. And so that's what we're encouraging today, is to have that joy set before you, that you will be able to endure whatever trials you're going through, but you'll have this hope of a future and glorious joy that will, you know, we're just getting kind of a foretaste of it now, but it's coming in fullness very soon. Mm-hmm. So, we also have 1 Peter 1:8. It says, whom having not seen, you love. And I know I'm speaking to people. You may not have seen him, but you love him. And though now you do not see him, it says, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Just from believing in him, there's a joy, a supernatural joy that you can experience. And we know that we're called to rejoice in the Lord always, you know, not just during Sukkot, but always. Right. You know, this joy is to keep going with us. Throughout the year, I was just thinking about this. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the secular holidays, you know, like Christmas, they say that suicides happen very often at New Year's. Mm-hmm. Suicides are very common after these holidays because mm-hmm. people are like, you know what? You know, they're looking for this fullness or this height of joy, and then they sometimes get let down. Mm-hmm. You know, their family, you know, issues or whatever are kind of accentuated during these seasons, and they end up committing suicide. Mm-hmm. But the joy of God's heart, and you know, the joy of God's ways and his festivals, is that it continues to grow. You know, so as we come out of this season of Sukkot, that God will continue to strengthen us to walk in joy mm-hmm. and to overcome. Mm-hmm. And I just want to zip through a few verses here in the New Testament about the joy of the Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit is what's going to birth this joy within us. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, we know this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And so the Holy Spirit is birthing this. And Luke 10:21, it says, in that hour, Yeshua rejoiced in the Spirit. So Yeshua, he was full of the Spirit, and he had this overflowing joy in him. He rejoiced in the Spirit. In Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. We see these connected. The joy of God just comes with the Holy Spirit. And just keeping in mind here in Acts 13, this is a time of persecution, just as Talia was mentioning earlier. It's during these times of persecution that sometimes that this Holy Spirit joy really comes in strong. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, it says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So may this be your portion, that you would experience and know this joy of the Holy Spirit as you go forth in the journey.
Yes, amen. So yeah, this is a refining season. We're getting ready for Messiah to come, Yeshua to come back, the fulfillment of all things. And let's rejoice even as he works on, refines us and gets us ready. So this is Brayden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved bridegroom. He is coming quickly.